Thank you so much, Ken. Appreciate that very much. We continue our sermon series here looking at the book of 1 John. Now, just a little reminder, just a little refresher of where this book comes from. The book is written at about 100 to 110 years in the Common Era. That is about two generations after the death of Christ. It comes as a letter or possibly a group of sermons that was going out to these different communities that are part of the larger Johannine community. This was a group, almost churches, communities that came together that came out, that the stories of the Gospel of John came out of, and they were followers of Jesus. They had been kicked out of the synagogue because of their beliefs and because of what they were saying about Jesus. And so, being kicked out of the synagogue, they gathered themselves together. And so, they are very aware of being pushed aside and being cast out. They recognize that we are connected in ways that's even beyond that tribal nature that's inside of us. But as most churches find out, the more that you spend time together, the more differences begin to arise. And when that happens, there can't help but be friction. There can't help but be other voices that come out and that begin to speak. And it has begun to divide these communities. And so, 1 John, this, whether it's one letter or multiple sermons that are preached to these different churches, communities that are out there, it's one that continues to push forward ideas of unity and of love for all creation. Now they say that God meets us where we are. And I have to say that there are many times that I'm going through life that a scripture like this pops up and it speaks to us in a time when I really need it. And there is something beautiful and that it reaches us at this time that we hear that we are all children of God and that God's love is there for all people. But there is also this reality that this scripture is, yes, comforting, but has a strong, strong current of challenge that runs through it as well. I was listening to one of the sermon dialogues that I listen to each and every week from a group of different clergy that gather to think about the text for this Sunday. And one of them shared a memory that they had had of a child, that they were taught something very interesting about this text that has helped them to remember it each and every year going forward. That many of us who've been in church for a long time, if I was to say, can you tell me this text of John 3:16? And many people would be able to remember. I remember that. Remember the guy that used to hang the signs up at the football games? For God so loved the world that God gave his only son, that whoever believes in him might have life. We remember those texts. Well, even though verses were added in the 16th century, 1 John 3:16 writes this, "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, For God so loved the world that God gave his son. 1 John 3:16, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. An incredible connection that reminds us that what God did for us is a call and an invitation for us to live our lives as ones that can make a difference. I love hearing this text about calling us children. There is something beautiful about the image that God calls us each children, that holds us in a loving way. We recognize that whether we have children biologically of our own or whether we hold children around us, there is something special about the lives that they have. And especially holding a little baby, we are able to love these children. But we also, in that same image, understand that if you've ever seen two sibling children together, they can get on each other's nerves. I hope my brother isn't watching today, because I was always an angel to my brother. But him, on the other hand, sometimes I just couldn't stand him. When we begin to see ourselves as one human family, as we begin to see ourselves as children of God, we recognize that most of the time what we say is we want our children in this world, in our lives, our own children, or maybe even the children in our church here, we want them to be happy. We want them to have good lives. We want them to have to go through life and not have to experience hardship or pain. But the recognition is this: if we're to live lives that matter, if we're to live lives of depth and meaning, we will experience pain. If you love deeply in this world, you will experience pain. That's just the way that it is. We can't look out above the world and show mercy and kindness and not recognize that in the midst of this, there is also violence and hurt that is happening. And to invest in this and to love all of humanity means that we hurt when humanity hurts. We recognize that in life we have spouses, we have children that we love, and there is loss because people that we love will pass on. They will move on. And if we have loved passionately, there will be hurt and pain. So it leaves us with a choice. What kind of life will we lead? Will we live one that is shallow? Or will we seek to live a life of depth and meaning? We are in the season of resurrection. We are in this time that we have just come out of Easter, where many of us gathered in this place, and maybe you gathered on Zoom or wherever it was, but we celebrated and we lifted up the act that God did of raising Jesus from the dead and sending him back into the world to show us that God's love and God's power is more powerful than death. If we are a resurrection people, if we believe in Jesus, and if we believe in the power of his love to conquer that death, we must recognize that resurrection has to make a difference in our own lives. If we celebrate Easter, the call, the invitation is to be an Easter people. To be ones that take that message out into the world. The text today is beautiful. But again, it has that undercurrent of challenge, and I hope that you heard that. I sat there at the beginning of this week recognizing, what kind of scripture is this? Is this a scripture of comfort? Or is this a scripture of challenge? Because there is beauty and there is comfort in the idea that we are God's child. But in the same words, the scripture reminds us that we are to love as God loves. And that to dwell in God and to understand ourselves as part of God and part of God's family as a child of God, that there is a responsibility. There is something that we have to give of that as well. We must set aside, lay down our life as well for others, for other children of God, for all of humanity. This is difficult. It's tough. And the recognition is if the only way of doing that, of living within that relationship with God, is by setting our lives aside, I recognize that more often than not, I hang on to the way that I want to do things. I hang on to the things and the ways that I want to live my life rather than setting it aside for another. I would rather be comfortable in the place that I am than being uncomfortable a little bit for my brother or my sister. I recognize that that's the way that it happens more often than not. And it hurts because I wish that I could do those things. But the reality is this. Mine and your lives make a difference. And it is up to us to hear the call today and to find the strength in being a child of God and take that out into the world. I'd like to invite you for a moment today just to pause for a second and to think about someone who has made a difference in your life. I happened to experience a couple of things this week in which I have been able to see the way that people's lives have made a difference in another's. The first was in response to a teacher that I was able to watch how a young person shared with a teacher how they had changed their life when they were young, when they felt unloved, when they felt that no one was there for them, and this teacher reached out to them. I have that memory as well. I remember Sam Hardy in third grade. He looked at me. He experienced life in a way that transferred to me. He shared a gift of lifelong learning that still exists in me today. I also got to watch this week as an unnamed nurse reached out and cared for another in a way of providing tender and yet important life-giving care to someone. The person did not know their name. This nurse will go unnamed. But the care and compassion that I observed was undeniable. And it took me back to a time when I was sitting in a chair receiving treatment, and a nurse was there for me with a hand on my shoulder. I don't remember her name, but she made that day bearable. I watched this week as people have sat with those who have been in desperate pain, sat side by side, hand in hand, neighbors, and drawn together as a family of all humanity. But they sat in the pain. I have known times in which folks have sat with me when they could not fix what was going on, but they could say, "I'm here. I'm there for you." Your life makes a difference. Whoever you are, wherever you are, you can make a difference. But it is by setting ourselves aside and drawing together all of God's children and showing love in that way. It is a call. It is an invitation. It is not easy, but it is what life is all about. I still don't know if this scripture is a comfort or a challenge. But the reality is this: nothing in this world that is worth doing will come easily. It will be work. But we do not do this work alone. May we go in peace and love, with strength and compassion, with love in our hearts, and unity calling us together. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the White Oak Pond Christian Church podcast. We hope that it's been a blessing to you this day. White Oak Pond seeks to be a place where we accept one person at a time to Christ's never-ending and forgiving love. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so that you can receive sermons each and every week. And also rate us. It really helps. Thank you again, and may you know joy in powerful ways this week.